May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O God, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. Last night at the Celtic Eucharist, I did a brief meditation on the line in this gospel where Jesus said, I will not leave you orphaned, I am coming to you. And I would like to spend time on that phrase today. I will not leave you orphaned, I will come to you. Jesus has predicted his death and his departure from them, and they are in shock. And this promise is given in that context to comfort and encourage them. It would not be unusual for us as God's children to feel at times orphaned and alone. In fact, if we don't, then there may be something wrong with us. And several years ago, the pop music group Train put out a CD called My Private Nation, which was quite a hit. And one of the singles on that CD is still being played on the radio, was very popular. The title of that song is Calling All Angels. And in this song, this popular singing group is actually singing to God. And these are some of the lines. I need a sign to let me know you're here. All of these lines are being crossed over the atmosphere. I need to know that things are going to look up, because I feel us drowning in a sea spilled from a cup, where there's no place safe and no safe place to put my head, which is actually an allusion to Jesus' teaching. Where you feel the world shake from the words that are said. I need a sign to let me know you're here, because my TV set just keeps it all from being clear. I want a reason for the way things have to be. I need a hand to help build up some kind of hope inside of me. And I'm calling all angels. I'm calling all angels. Now, you may have felt the way this singing group feels in this song. I certainly have. In a world where the poor and the powerless are exploited and the environment is abused, and our values as Christians of mercy and justice and compassion and faithfulness are trampled on, it's easy to feel orphaned and abandoned and homeless. And in the song that Train wrote, they actually allude to Jesus' teaching when he says, no safe place to put my head. Jesus said, foxes have holes and birds have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to put his head. What strikes me in this passage, and what I think of, is that people like you and me have a hunger for transcendence. We have a hunger to know that we're connected to something beyond ourselves. Even James Hollis, the psychologist, once jokingly said that people going to gambling casinos is proof that people want transcendence, because they're looking for Lady Luck in the gambling casino, and they're hoping to connect with Lady Luck. Well, in this passage, Jesus promises us that we will have an eternal link with transcendence. I will send the Holy Spirit, and he will be with you. How long? Forever. The promise here, a little farther down, two or three verses below where this is, Jesus says, my Father and I will make our home with you. So the promise in John 14 is that Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the whole presence of God, lives in us and among us, whether we are aware of it or not. And we may not always be aware. What we're being told here is that we're supposed to stay in the place we've already been put by our baptism. We were anointed by the Holy Spirit in baptism, and we're just supposed to stay there. We have already been given all that we need. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean we walk around with a giddy sense of God's presence all of the time. We may be upset about something, which may be like this, the clouds blocking the sun of God's presence. We may be in crisis. Very hard to have a religious experience sometimes when you're in crisis. All sorts of reasons, including the fact that we may be sabotaging that ourselves by wanting to have too much control of our lives, like Adam and Eve hiding from God's presence in the garden so they could live the way they wanted to. But that doesn't matter. God is present nonetheless, whether we know it or not. My own experience sometimes is that I may not be particularly aware of a presence outside myself, but I come to church and the Spirit is stirring in other people's lives, and being in a room where that's happening among other people, the Spirit wakes up in my life. And there are all sorts of evidences that you're in touch with transcendence, some of which you might not interpret that way. For example, experiencing the love of another person coming toward you. Well, whose love is wrapped up in that person's love? God's love. Getting a new insight or an aha moment in church or in private reading that gives you freedom and encouragement. It's coming in touch with the divine. Even the yearning to be in church. What is that? Could it be the voice of God in here creating a hunger? Yes, I think so. Seeing something in nature, like I was in Spartanburg, South Carolina on my day off and spent the night in an old bed and breakfast with this huge front porch and sat out there and watched the thunderstorms. And the awe and mystery of that power made me think of the power of God. Van Morrison, the Welsh poet and pop singer, in one of his songs talks about chills up the back of the neck. Sometimes you may actually have a physical experience of something outside yourself. For me, it's normally a chill that starts right here at the diaphragm and just sort of works its way up. It makes me aware of God's presence. There are all sorts of ways that God manifests that presence. Sometimes what we need to do is just sit, stand in the middle of the room and drive a stake into the floor and say, I believe that Christ and the Spirit live in me and that I will not let go of no matter how I feel today. And if you reflect on that for a moment, if Christ truly is living in us, the presence of Christ, then what's possible? What possibilities are opened up for us personally and as the church? What limits are there if Christ indeed lives in us? It's hard to imagine. Another hunger that I see in this chapter is the hunger for meaning and purpose. Why am I on this planet? Good Lord, let me know. Why did you put me here? And as I thought about that in preparation for today, I thought about some of the reasons that give me meaning, or some of the things that give me meaning as a Christian. And at the center of that is my relationship to God, that God is present always, the only relationship that never fails me and never will fail me. The Spirit will be with me forever. And then there are those relationships with family. Like I went down on my day off to see my grandsons, who are 4 and 2, and my daughter and son-in-law. And all of their family was together in Augusta Friday. His brother, his sister, and all of their children. That house was full of kids. I was wondering, why did I go there? But nurturing those relationships, and relationships to friends whom I dearly love that are all over the country, gives real meaning to life. And participating in what God is up to in the world. God is out there doing mission, and finding a way to participate in it and be a part of it. The Holy Spirit isn't given to us just to titillate our fantasies and give us religious feelings. Christ is in us to live through us and to love others through us. And it is when we find a way to give ourselves away out there and in here that we set Christ free and we may actually experience his presence waking up in us because we've resolved to give ourselves away. I went over after the Celtic Eucharist last night to the Grey Goose to have some pizza, and this place was jammed, so I sat at the bar and I still had my clergy collar on and I had a book of religious poems I was reading. And it just amazes me whenever I do that how conversations happen with the bartender and the host and two people, one of whom turned out to be an inactive member at the cathedral. You know, so just, it's amazing when you just put yourself out there. And I really didn't go there to have an evangelistic moment. I went there to eat pizza. But when you find yourself involved in God's mission in the world, it gives meaning and purpose to life. When I die, when you die, don't we want to know that our life made a difference? Something other than having a career and building a home and having a portfolio? Bearing fruit, seeing Christ love other people through us and make a difference. Ernst Hansen was a German soldier in World War II, was seriously wounded and handicapped all of his life as a result. But he became a New Testament scholar. And in this massive commentary on John's Gospel, there's this little line that lurks. He says, "We must not forget for our part that a certain cross on Golgotha has become the most fruitful of all trees." God does not care for fruitlessness and frustration. And where life may appear futile among God's own, from our point of view, we should reflect that God sees all things. And so my encouragement to you today is to let go. Old habits and patterns of ways of expecting God to work. Try on new behavior and open up your expectations. New behavior in your personal prayer life and finding a way to give yourself away and expecting that Christ will love through you in the giving. And pray that you can be a part of that larger work that God is doing in the world. As Jesus said, "I will not leave you orphaned. I will come to you." Amen.